is call to order the regular meeting of the North Bend, regular meeting and public hearing of the North Bend Planning Commission for Thursday, July 13, 2017. First item of business is to approve tonight's agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Roll call.
Oh, yeah, we wanted to do roll call. That is right. So we'll add roll call to the agenda as item number one, and everything else will shift down. Thank you for the reminder. Appreciate that. So roll call.
Dick Ryan, Commissioner.
Jim Lucky.
And Gary Fancher, Chair. And we have excused absences from Elizabeth Gildersleeve and Curtis.
I think I saw Mr. Heller.
Yep. And we are awaiting the arrival of Commissioner Heller.
Just arrived.
What's your name for the record, sir?
Scott Heller.
Commissioner Heller. All right. Now that the agenda has been amended and roll call has been taken, next item of business is to approve minutes for June 22nd, 2017. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Commissioner, I approve. I move we approve the minutes of April.
Second date.
So we have a motion and a second. Any comments or changes?
I would like to make a comment.
Yes, sir.
I thought the minutes were very descriptive.
I'd like to echo that, given that our staff is very busy, we do appreciate the dedication that you take.
Tom? Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Tom.
Any further public comment or changes?
Did you end up doing a motion on the agenda in a second?
We did. We had a motion by Commissioner Lucky and a second by Commissioner Ryan.
So
we did not vote.
Flip-flopped from the, okay.
Yes. All those in favor of approving the agenda say aye.
Aye.
The agenda is approved. Next, on the approval of the minutes, any further comments or changes? Okay. All those in favor of approving the minutes for June 22nd, 2017, say aye.
Aye.
Minutes are approved. It is unanimous. Next item on our agenda is public comment on non-agenda items. Seeing no one from the public present, we will move on to item number five, which is the public hearing in North Bend Municipal Code Amendments to Permitted Land Use Chart Table 18.10.030 and Associated Minor Amendments to Performance Standards 18.10.040. And we'll recognize our senior planner, Ms. Burrell, for an introduction.
Okay. Thank you. So included in your packet is a summary memo and the table of permitted uses, which is 18.10.030, and some potential performance standards, which would be part of 18.10.040. So the Community and Economic Development Council Committee, the CED committee, reviewed this permitted land use chart at multiple meetings, a March 9th, 2017 meeting, April 18th, 2017 meeting, May 16th, 2017 meeting, and June 13th, 2017 meeting. They went through, much like you guys will do, every zone, a lot of focus on the neighborhood business zone, a lot of talk about other amendments that we can make that are maybe in the future, and now they've passed it on to Planning Commission for review. To summarize some of the changes, some of them carry over from our dockets that we've seen, and that'll be a way to address that. We also have a interim regulations in place, actually a moratorium in place as well for single family in the neighborhood business zone, single family in the interchange commercial and special districts. So there's been a lot of talk about single-family homes, where we want to see them, what sort of uses we want to see in neighborhood business. In general, I would say some uses have been taken out of neighborhood business. Looking at employment park uses, there's about four uses that are different amongst the two, EP1 and EP2. And so the council committee talked about, should we look at which would be a future comprehensive plan update, combining those together and just calling it EP use, or, you know, really what are we getting that's different? And in some ways, as we talked about with your dockets, is there a way to simplify and just be more clear? And so I think that's part of the intent of this. There was some more limiting of auto services and sales to consider for the neighborhood business zone, and keeping that at the interchange commercial and out at the freeways. Same with Employment Park, removing some of the auto-orientated uses. And the performance standard at the back is a bit contingent on where we go with neighborhood business, and we probably, you know, may not get there tonight, although there's not hours of public here, so it's an empty house, and trying to balance the linear aspect of the neighborhood business zone and, you know, if ways to break that up. I think what I've heard is not everybody wants to see all of one thing or all of another, because that would be too much. And with some of our development that we know about, we would be getting a park along North Bend Way at the Dahlgren site. We do know of, and we know that if it continues to go through, would have multifamily. And we also have pockets of other zones there and other uses. And so the performance standards were meant to try to start the discussion of the neighborhood business zone. If we want to allow multifamily, would we want to see it behind, and at what degree and intensity? And that's pretty much the summary of where we're at.
Thank you for the introduction. This is the first time we're kind of talking about this, and so I guess the only thing that I want to add to it, when I look at what we permit in our zones, is I think about how does it impact the residents that live in the surrounding zones? How does it positively or negatively impact their lives? Does it make, you know, life in our community better? Does it bring jobs that they're looking for, or what it is? And so if that helps you when you're looking at this table, I guess that's the one lens that I'm using when I look at this. So if anybody else has other suggestions as to how to, like, personalize this, and really think about it.
Did you want to open and close the public hearing
before
we?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Just for some of the zones, it's whether or not the business that is being supported by the code would actually use that zone, because they cost the property. Some of these zones, I think, property is going to be situated in such a way that it's going to be very expensive, and to put a small shop in there probably wouldn't even consider it. So thinking of it as a permitted use is nice, but thinking it's going to actually develop there is not going to work. So I think that we have to consider the land value potential for the type of business that we're permitting over there.
Any other thoughts on how we should look at this? And, you know, welcome as we go forward. So at this time, we'll forego the public hearing procedures and information signal from the public present, although for the purpose of recording, I'll let everyone know that you still have another opportunity to comment when this moves on to City Council. You can do that in person at the public hearing with council, or through writing to the staff. So we'll go ahead and officially open our public hearing at 7:11, and we will go ahead and, no one present, close our public hearing also at 7:11. We'll move on to Planning Commission questions and thoughts. Who would like to begin?
You start with the birds.
From
Commissioner Ryan, where would you like us to go?
I guess I only move just to pick this thing apart, but as I think about doing that, I'm going to do it in a way that is considerate of the people that put their first fingerprints on this, but so I'll begin with single family dwellings, page 2 of 15, and I go down to 1.12, designated manufactured homes. But think about putting those types of units into a residential community is going to create a lot of turmoil for the landowners that have fixed foundation properties with mobile homes intermixed with them. I can't see that being a good planning at all. I think they ought to have manufactured homes in a manufactured park.
So I do have a clarification on that from our attorney. It's state law that we're required to provide designated manufactured homes in the same zone that we provide single family detached. So, and a lot of times they are placed on the same type of foundation, but it's a state requirement that we can't.
Where in the city do we have that?
It's a state requirement.
Where in the city have we developed that?
Do we have manufactured homes?
In the city.
We have a commercial one off of Downing, but that's not a home. We have...
I don't know if it's a mobile home or a manufactured home right on the corner of Middle Park Road and Southeast 140th. That's back there.
Yeah. We might have a few. The requirements now are that if they do come in, they are new. There's quite a few requirements. Again, state regulated. Same with mobile homes.
We have the liberty to create a specific zone in the residential zone, a specific zone for mobile homes. We don't have to be putting mobile homes in the next lot to a fixed resident. Do you understand how crazy that would be?
Right. So, and mobile homes have been taken out.
Yeah, they're taken out altogether.
These existing ones
manufactured home is?
Remain. It's a pre-built home on a foundation.
Two or three sections, and then they put them together on a foundation, yeah. And they look like
similar. The challenge for them placing a manufactured home, why I think we haven't seen them. First, if you're in a flood zone, that's just probably not going to happen. But our design standards are really prohibit that.
Mm-hmm. Well, until I see North Bend actually promoting the development of manufactured home blocks in this community, I would say we're violating the law or the faith of law anyway. We're not trying to get them in. And the reason for that is that lowers property values, which lowers property taxes, which lowers the income of the city. If you're going to have that, if we're going to have that, I would strongly urge that we reconsider permitting manufactured housing inside the residential zone. I'd rather see you create a zone especially for that type of living. That's a comment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for my fellow commissioners to come up with something else.
I have a comment to add to your comment, if I may.
Please.
So the mobile piece... Mobile home park, the old school, we have a few of those off North Bend Way. Those buildings are physically movable. They're not affixed to the land. It's a key phrase. The banks treat them differently. They're personal property. They're not tied to the land. So when you shift from that structure to something that's assembled in part or in whole off-site, that's the definition change. But the modular structures are tied to the land just like a home is built on the site. And there's lots of places, a lot of companies now that are doing business where you really can't tell when they're done. They look like anything else that you see in the neighborhood. At least that's my take on the point you're making, but I also wonder, have we even dealt with this distinction in the code by spelling that out specifically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is defined.
So it's pretty clear. Mm-hmm. And back to your point of design standards, you know, mm-hmm. if the thing that you're pointing out, and I agree with you, aesthetically, it's kind of like if we're just going to put two halves together and pitch in the middle next to mm-hmm. the traditional stick-built house, mm-hmm. that disparity is going to be tough for us to say that made sense.
Well, no one's going to buy it.
Well, but now you're reaching to exactly where I wanted to go. I think we as a body need to leave that decision to the landowner and the market forces that are at play. And if somebody wants to build a modular structure on their lot, have at it. The costs are not going to be dramatically different today than they would be. Definitely not for pulling a mobile home in and tying it to the land. That's not the point.
I'm just saying, Jim, that in my experience, which is us, keep it yours, I'm passing by a neighborhood that has.
Within this massive zone relative to the single lot, it's massive, then those things will find their way, I think. Particularly because what you said, our design standards are going to keep that traditional or that mobile home looking structure probably can even happen.
Even remove those structures down the road, you know, a craft home has got various angles to it, and they're all not right angles, they're various. When they build them, they don't build them so they can be moved in three separate parts. You get a building on site from a manufacturing location, they've got to meet a certain road standard to get down the highway. It can't take up two lanes, it can't any of that. So you're forced into almost three rectangles, maybe two going together, one wing, one sticking out, which would be the garage, and that's what you're gonna get. And when I see a duck, I call it a duck. Sorry.
I like that.
So I would like my comment is I would not support or continue to support the permitted use for manufactured homes inside any of the residential zones. I would recommend we create a fifth residential zone specifically for manufactured.
And just a point of information, Jamie, are you saying that we have to permit them by law in every zone?
In every zone that single family detached is allowed. Yes. And I will double check with legal to see if we can do what Commissioner Ryan has proposed. And you might be able to help direct it if that's your goal, but I don't think you're going to get away with it.
I suggest that you get John Day to start building on the cottages and leave several lots available.
As a test? You mean as a test of the market?
Yeah, that's a law, right, then we should require the builders to leave spaces available in the neighborhoods they build for manufactured homes to show up.
Right.
We're not following the letter of the law.
But if it is with the floodplain requirements that you mentioned, then
right,
it might get up to the price of the cottages. The only thing I'll add is that my grandma lived in one of those manufactured homes. It was a two-bedroom, one bath, and it wasn't bad. You know, had a foundation and had a dining underneath. It doesn't look like a real home, but it's not far off. And it would be more affordable. It's not a mobile home, I agree.
Probably, if not the lot price of the cottages,
right,
would probably make the manufactured home not suitable because of
right,
the large price of that lot. Taxes on that would just blow her out of the water. She couldn't move in there.
Right.
She's going to find a spot where other people are similar in her situation, where the tax base is held low in the affordability range. But if that's the law, I want to start seeing less left available to manufacturers to have homes ashore.
I have a quick question. The tiny house movement, where does mm-hmm. that fit in? Is that a manufactured home? What is that determined to be?
No, it's usually, we have not defined it or directly addressed it in our code. It would be allowed. It would fall under a single family detached dwelling.
Minimum
We have a minimum. Well, we do have regulations for that, that, you know, that would not be allowed, you know.
I've talked to people in the community that have homes here in town who are wanting to have that come in their property for the advantage of Airbnb, things like that. And I'm hearing more of that conversation.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Somebody could put that on their property as sort of an ADU, I think, and again go through the permitting placement, and get that done. But it's kind of like our cottage, but smaller. So same thing. That's how I would see it.
You notice that we actually we have three designations. 1.13, 1.415 is mobile home parks. We no longer permit them in the neighborhood business area because it's not a residential zone. Is that why, Jim?
Mobile homes are different than manufactured under the law.
Right. Yes, there are different definitions under the law, and
so we've even not permitted. We've removed the permission to even build those in town.
Another mobile home or manufactured home park, or mobile home park, correct?
So what is being thought of by the committee that's doing that to ourselves?
This is for the neighborhood business zone, and two mobile home parks do exist in the neighborhood business zone now. So they're existing; they can remain. For the neighborhood business, the general thought is this isn't the place that we want to see single family homes.
Yeah.
So that's how we got here.
After just looking at this, I guess what is the designated manufactured homes and then manufactured homes?
So designated manufactured home is the definition. Under manufactured home, under the 1.13 is the same. This, it's just in a park.
Is that what you were talking about there? You wanted the manufactured home park?
Park.
Yes, that's what I think we need in this town. We don't have very responsible owners of these. They're all substandard residential communities. I think that we need to have a zone with teeth in it. It keeps them, requires the owner to maintain the property and keep them up. And the owners that have those properties to keep them up. There has to be some standard. We let them go because we've agreed that those among us who can't afford a standard home are doing the best they can. And then they need a place to live that is not on the street. Mm-hmm. God love them, that's true. But it seems to me that thinking is that we can't get away from these substandard mobile home parks, so we're just not going to allow them. And I think that's not doing a service to the community and neighbors and people. All they can afford is that kind of residence, and we're not giving them a place to put it.
So there's a place in part of California that I've visited a few times called Dana Point. And there's at least two mobile home parks up on the bluff looking out over the Pacific. It's $1 million a pop.
Yeah.
So it's kind of this dance of where people choose to live or where a landlord chooses to manage property. There's always going to be a dance. And in fact, to the point we're making, I think if you make these, whatever example you want to use, if you make the unit that's for lease perfect, it's stellar all the time, the rent you have to charge to maintain that blows the guy out, so he's not having a place to live anymore. I think we get, or the customer, the consumer, the person who lives in our city gets the most bang for our buck if we make it flexible so things can move with some fluidity. The more boxes we create, the more rules we create on portions of land, the more expensive stuff becomes, the harder it is to accomplish. So I'm always going to fall back to that same logic you asked about what's the lens. Well, that's my lens. Don't restrict anything unless you have to. And And I agree what you're saying about the mobile home, the traditional, and the terms we're using here is like a little slippery slope. But the traditional, straight down, you know, the kitchen, the living room, the bedroom, that layout mobile home where you can actually pull it out with a trailer, the days of those are pretty much gone. You might argue that the tiny house has filled in the space.
You know, there's a beautiful park, mobile home park, a manufactured home park you're talking about, in Springland. You're heading towards Fall City, right between the church. Fall City is about a 30-unit mobile home park, standalone units, split half, put together. But they have space, they have trees, they have a view to the south. Pretty kind of nice. Mm-hmm. We sort of should attract that kind of development.
Those people own their units.
Yeah,
they lease the lot.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Versus some other cases where the landlord owns the lots and the units and gets rent every month.
Yeah.
There's a different kind of book there. It's
well, what I'm thinking
like
about, they charge the rent for the unit. They were getting $8.95 for 300 square feet.
So this is great discussion, but I want to understand a little more about what the requirement is. So Jamie, was the thinking to take out manufactured home parks due to the fact that we're required to have them permitted in every zone, that they no longer should have their own designated area that was in conflict with the law?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it makes sense that you could create a nice park for them, but if that's something that conflicts with state law, then I see the discussion as kind of a moot point. We can create design standards that allow certain types of construction to be permitted, but we can't say yes or no to a zone that has single-family residents.
The word designated strikes me as somebody's afterthought.
Yes.
Has that been there for a while?
Let me go grab our code and see what it defines. Yeah. I think it's defined.
What is it
defined as?
I designate this table.
How is the manufactured home park
Well, so I was trying to understand what the CED committee's thought process was. Because state law says that you must have a manufactured home available in any zone that has single-family homes permitted, then they saw that we don't need a separate zone because we don't want to just – that's in conflict because you can't just segregate them. The point was to integrate. Right. And that's what – I don't know if that's the text of the law going based on what we're being told, but if that's the law, then – we have to have that. For me, I think manufactured homes seem to be a good answer when home construction costs are higher. And you think about people who are in remote locations or who aren't in cities that really need that answer because they don't have construction companies coming out to them and resources. And so if you can build it cheap in a factory and, you know, deliver it on your farm.
This is great for a rural unincorporated area, these kinds of units. Totally agree with that. And I'm saying that when you have a city that's going to bring sewers and water to the site, all those deliberative entities boost the property taxes of that owner, and the owner's moving in there with a residence that they can afford. Can't afford a fixed unit. They're going to bring in, they're going to move in their unit and park it. And aren't they going to be surprised when their property tax is going to go right through the roof? No, they won't be prepared for it. And it's going to. I'm just banging the bell. Like
yep.
I usually do. Move on. I just bang the bell.
I'm still ringing here. Let's keep going.
I think, you know, in earnest, understanding how many people are moving to a region a month, that 12,000 people in the Puget Sound region here every month, the 200,000 jobs that are being created that need to be filled. Our job is to figure out, you know, how to take on our share or how to fit that share in our city. This is just one housing option, but if I'm in the market of building homes, I'm thinking of maximizing land and use, and I don't know that I'd be looking for this opportunity. I think it helps really the individual landowner that is just trying to build a home on a lot that they own.
Yeah. So I'd like maybe the commission ought to task staff to bring us examples of successful communities where they have integrated visited manufactured homes with site-built homes. Let's see how that looks. Maybe they aren't as much integrated between fixed homes. They might have pockets of manufacturing adjacent to a neighborhood.
I think that's a fascinating question, but I go back to it in the end, the point being we have to comply with what the law is, and we can't change that piece.
I'm not saying we're going to change the law, Mr. Chair. I'm just saying we can get a better idea how we're going to live with the law.
Or how to integrate it into the zone.
Yeah. If we have
setbacks or something.
Then what I need to be educated is, oh, maybe I'm too linear in this, my thinking, that maybe there's a way that is being done that's conforming to the law, but also satisfies the financial appetite of the owners, what they can afford.
Go ahead.
The two things that were said here, one of them got my attention in a big way, Gary, if I may. So if the state or the feds have said, hey, plan for growth, draw some circles, Growth Management Act, here we go. That's the force behind plan for the 12,000 plus, you take your share. I hear that. I know that's the law of the day, but I also think that's not our job. Our job is to represent the people who live here already. Now, we're going to follow some guidelines and follow some rules, but our first focal point needs to be our people that are living here. That's the reason we're here. It's the reason the mayor said, hey, you guys keep doing your job because you're representing the people who live here. The next thing that happens is we look at each individual zone that exists, see if it makes sense. To your point, and it happens every time you have an incongruent use, every time something, one parcel meets another zone, there's going to be this ripple of, wait a minute, that doesn't quite fit, doesn't belong. But this one, to me, is really easy. The way that, back to the state, the feds, the way the planning happens, platting process, it's almost impossible now to come in and say, I'd like to build something on this parcel of land. Because if you got enough land to build something, it's worth a lot of money, the land is. So the market forces are going to keep somebody from saying, I'd just like to put a mobile home or whatever there. It's just not going to happen commonly. Much more commonly, to your point, you mentioned John Day, his plat process and the covenants that he creates to put that neighborhood together are going to keep anybody who may happen to somehow own a lot. If their building burns down or something happens, that plat's not going to be able to allow this thing that you're concerned about. So I think there's already many stopgaps at many levels to keep it from happening. The grandfather stuff, the stuff that's already there, their property values have gone up, like you say. Eventually, taxes will hit that occupant, and they will have paid their mortgage off, and 6 months later, they can't afford the taxes. That's the dance we're in. I'll shut up. So that's
how you balance it well.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you saying that. I agree 100% with what you're saying. I just think, you know, we're hitting our growth target for 20 years, and that we'll hit it in a couple of years. Just speaks volume to the lack of readiness for the region.
And I would probably argue quickly that many people here don't care about that. Pay the fine. I'd rather have the fine than the traffic and the density and everything else that comes along with this quote Growth Management Act requirement.
I got, yeah, so the definition in 1806.030, a manufactured home is a single-family residence constructed after June 15th, 1976. It has to be new. It has to be in accordance with HUD standards. It's on a permanent foundation. It is hooked to utilities. A manufactured home designated, and that's per RCW 35A.63.145, means a manufactured home, so meets all those, and also is comprised of two fully enclosed parallel sections of not less than 12 feet wide by 36 long, has original construction, I'll just read it, was originally constructed with and now has a composition wood shake or shingle, coated metal or similar roof of not less than 312 pitch. Has similar exterior siding from those materials commonly used in the Uniform Building Code single family residences. So to me, the designated part means it's just a step. There's more requirements on it. It's a step up in quality.
The word designated in the RCW, or yep. Is that our code that we just
It's in the RCW.
So
yep.
We thank some person throwing that word there.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard you say that it was two units.
Two fully enclosed, of at least two fully enclosed parallel sections, each of not less than 12 feet wide by 36 feet long.
So would a manufactured home not be a single 12 feet by 30?
It's 212 by 30 as far as 24 by 3.
Right. At least two. So I don't think it would be able to be. I mean, it's put together as one, but comes.
See that thing, so
right.
Two halves must be there for there to be a whole.
Right.
For designated.
Right.
If it's other than that, it's called what?
Other than that, it's a manufactured home, single family residence. Doesn't talk about size. It says new. It leaves that that open and more back to the design, which is where you would run into, I think, roadblock.
Right, right. So does everybody recall that we had an applicant, I can't remember where it was part of, he came in regarding some land in near Trucktown. He wanted to basically have a mix of
Last week or last meeting.
Oh, he came again?
Yeah.
Should have been, I remember almost a year ago, first time, I guess.
Well, this is the first time I remember the experience, but yeah, he wanted to fill in that. Fury. It was a Fury, right, that wanted to do that. He wanted that triangular shape between Trucktown and the residential.
No, it was just a different guy.
The guy I'm thinking about, he was here on behalf of the owners.
Right.
And he was basically going campground-esque, some affixed permanent units to be rented.
Okay, that was at the other side.
Right.
That was the eastern end.
Right. And I think we had this kind of conversation on mobile, not mobile.
Right.
Yeah, it was park.
Recreational vehicle park.
I think where's the back of my truck meet the trailer meet the mobile home?
No, that went through with, Mike worked on that, and it went through with a lot of performance standards, which I don't know if this version of, I'd have to check if this version has that in there, but it was, I think he actually, he was in not that long ago, and I think he might be moving forward, but we, you know, regulated how long, you know, you could stay there, that's the big one, and then tree retention and site development, but, right, I think this one is the old. We had recreational park, but we added quite a bit to that. Yep.
If I can make one more point on flexibility as we evaluate all of these things, the baby boomer concept, it used to be a certain number of people looking for a place to live. That number in our combined lifetimes tripled or quadrupled. And at the same time, takes two incomes to pay the mortgage, right? So, and as the generation, the seniors of that group are getting out of the big house, so to speak, maybe they have two little ones. There's lots of push on the little square footage for lots of different reasons. So the more opportunities that we can create for the smaller ownership piece, I think we're going to win. And to your point about growth, it's not growth in physical structures, it's growth in body count. That's going to help our body count. People can live in this place.
No, that's how I think mobile home park has occurred up there in Bendigo. Got established. I mean, the community, the members of the community need a smaller space than they have. So they allowed that mobile home park to develop, to cheat the jowl. Now we're regretting what it's become. I think this small house craze reminds me of how in Japan they were sleeping in coffins.
Yes.
Because they didn't want to leave town. They just moved and slept in this box. Yeah. And they thought that was so cool. Well, it's not so cool. Being in real life, it's crazy.
Still rent one for $300 a night.
Whatever it was. This is the same kind of idea when it comes to planning for our city, is that we plan for the immediate moment, but without thinking what's going to happen down the line when these things begin to deteriorate. They aren't worth fixing. They're still habitable by the law, but they aren't worth doing anything to them. And they're consumed by the environment, where at some point they light a fire to it to make the insurance pay.
Yeah, I think because of the cost of land, what you're going to see is more of the micro units in a larger building and managed by one owner. And if it's a good one, then you probably have good upkeep. And I mean, I know Redmond permitted, what, like 5,000 units last year, not all that type, but they had a lot that were the size of, you know, this area back here, and that's a unit.
Studio.
Yep. Not even.
Yeah. With a hot pad and a sink for a shower.
Right.
So does it seem then wise that the commission would like to look at tiny housing code for the city?
I don't know if you need to call it something special. I'd like to see us allow it within the current nomenclature so we don't have to start off a whole other...
Right.
People say, well, wait a minute, the tiny house has to be less than 650 feet, and it has to have a propane tank attached to the back of the porch. I mean, that kind of crazy conversation will start.
Right.
I don't know why. Don't we have minimum square footages in our design standards for most of what we have?
We have minimum, or sorry, maximum for like an accessory dwelling unit. No, we don't have a minimum square footage. So, like I said, it's...
Can accessory dwelling units be... I guess 600 to 800 square foot with a bathroom and
Yeah, so I think the answer is I think they're allowed now. I could look into, is there any, you know, we don't define them, so should we? Or is there anything else? But going down that road is probably not now, is not the time with.
Where does a cottage become a tiny house?
Right.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, that's the dance, right? Yeah. That's kind of this whole place here.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. How big a house do you need to call a house? We have to provide, Jamie, is the law we have to provide for designated manufacturer housing. Do we have to specifically allow for that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if I lived in a tent, if I was an Indian tribe, I wanted to live in a teepee, would that...
Right. Yeah.
See where this is? What Jim was saying, let you know, have a variety of sizes for houses, for builders, to choose a variety of home sizes.
Mm-hmm.
Have them all manufactured on the property, but different sizes creating affordability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was lucky enough to live in a neighborhood where they have some pretty expensive homes.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fence divided the property line, but I lived amongst wealthy people, and we were poor, but we didn't think of it that way. We just had a different place to live,
mm-hmm.
And I think we need to think about that kind of an arrangement, not just, because it all worked back in the 40s and 50s, that kind of living, because people had homes established in the suburban, not suburban, in the rural area of Pasadena, and the town moved into that area, moved all around their orange groves. The homes stayed large, but they were built small homes around them, and we all lived there,
mm-hmm.
The rich and the non-rich.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that having smaller homes, clearly smaller, built in the neighborhood, people who can afford those and living with people on larger homes, that makes for a healthier community. And you don't have to call it a manufactured home, or i.e. a trailer. Because that's what everybody thinks.
But doesn't, if we stick with the tradition of, I don't know what the history is, but planning in the 1920s, it's very different than it was in the 1970s and very different than it is today. Yeah. Planning, just in general. To me, we've over-planned everything.
Yeah.
We're trying to force things that politicians and others think are the right thing, when the reality is the market's already left them 5 years ago.
Yeah.
They have no clue, no connection anymore. I don't want to beat a drum, but to your point about inserting mixed use within a neighborhood, that's exactly right. The ADU piece is a great example, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You have an established neighborhood, and I can just pick one. I'll just take neighborhood A that has 25-year-old homes in it, three-quarter-acre lots. And instead of moving out of that three-plus-bedroom, 3,500-square-foot house, the family says, you know, we can put an ADU in the back. Not only can Bobby and Sally, when they come back from college because they couldn't get a job, can live there for a year or two, so can Mom and Dad's parents. And when all that's done, we'll rent it out, and that can pay the property taxes. We don't have to sell ever. So the dance that people can do with their own property, if we let them, is much better than forcing them to basically move every 3 to 5 years based on their lifestyle or their family needs. Got a soapbox one today, guys. I really wasn't going to talk today. I was like, get out of here. It's nice outside.
But you see, that came out of this discussion. What you're talking about is a perfect example of what we should be doing.
Yep. I believe that's kind of where our code is, with the minimum square footage size, with the maximum that you can, is unlimited, right, for single family. So I think cottage is pretty, got a good range with a mix of small and large.
All right, that's an easy linchpin, by the way, in every part of the code. If we're trying to think about land use and space for living, it's an easy thing to say minimum, maximum square footage of whatever the structure is. That's going to force, as creative as people want to get, they're still working within the box that makes sense for that.
Well, I would like the code maybe to get a little more firm on that and say area that's going to be developed, a certain percentage has to be housing less than 1,000, more than 800, less than 1,000 square feet.
In our cottage, do we have anything like that?
Put them around the neighborhood of larger homes. And even if you have a trial balloon, see what happens.
Yeah, we regulate size in the cottage only, and for ADUs. 800 square feet. Mm-hmm. One bedroom.
So, reading this, I'm not sure that you need to have a single family first, primarily, and then you add the ADU. Like, it could be just a whole community of ADUs then?
No. Just by definition, it's accessory. Yeah, it's accessory. Yes.
But there's no minimum on the ADUs?
There's no minimum.
So like a 200, 300 square foot tiny home could...
Correct.
We would have them fit in the code and with
right.
an ADU without specifically calling it out.
Or a tiny home, right.
Tiny home.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Just think 300 square feet with a hot tub on the roof. Outside.
Yeah, and then remember our latest single family and cottage design standards, which are going to council August 1st.
Council or CED?
Council, the ones you've already approved and went to CED and would have already went, but we lost some staff and had a little delay and we're just a little busy with other things. But that is ready to go, and that required the... and I can't remember right now if you guys did that or that was a committee requirement to, in plats of over 17 units, I think, require single family. So to get a mix of single family and two-story homes and have them dispersed throughout. So it didn't set a square footage limit, they're still going to not be necessarily affordable, depending on the development. But they would cost less. They'd be on a similar size lot. And we actually had a developer come in, and they thought that was great because, I mean, the cottages have a few of single story, and they're already sold, I think. So there's definitely a demand for that.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah.
It has the term master on the main floor.
Right.
That's how that plays out.
Yeah. When a builder builds, let's say, 20 units, what's the economics of holding back within a group of 20 residences, holding back 5 for rent? Can a builder do that financially in a successful way, to not sell all 20, but to actually sell 15 and rent 5?
You touched on a key, which is the financing.
Yeah.
Most financing for plat work, there are a couple different stages. And the final stage is, they call it the vertical. So they've done all the land work, they're starting to build. It's the vertical stage. And the loans get paid off. Usually, you know, every time a house sells, a little chunk of the big loan gets paid until the builder gets all the way through. And it might be, to take your 20, the last 3 or 4 homes might be where the profit is. Up until then, he's on the edge. And he takes, you know, the last 3 houses are 300 apiece. He walks away with almost $1 million, but he's been working at it for 5 years, right? So if you're working with cash, you still have the same analysis, because now you're talking about, where is my interest? I'm not getting interest for the cash I've got sitting in the land. It's a huge risk, both in the economy and people like us changing our minds halfway through the project. I don't know if I'm answering your question.
Not really.
I agree. I worked in home construction lending, and the builders are graded on how well the sales are going, because that dictates how soon the loan will get paid off. And you get graded based on how many developments you're doing and the faith in that lender has in you by your performance on your loans to pay them off.
But could the builder arrange with the bank to take ownership of the property, and the bank be the landlord for those 5 on the lot?
General practice, the bank doesn't want to be holding property. They're not a good investment to be holding for a bank.
Okay,
the builder could, though.
The mortgage company,
then. The builder could, instead of taking his 3 or 4 last houses as profit, he could say, I'll just rent them out. But he's not going to do that. He's got that money's going somewhere else. He needs to cash out of the money out of the project.
Yeah.
I mean, I've several builders that I've counseled over the years, particularly startup guys who are just building 10 or 15 houses a year. I always say, build one to sell, and when you start the next one, plan on renting it, because you may get stuck.
Yeah.
You know, by the time it takes you to get the house built, the market can shift, and you need to be able to put a renter in the one to stay alive.
Jim, obviously apartments are going to be for rent from a landlord, but what about multifamily? If you're building a condo, or you're building, you know, for rent or for sale, that is dependent mainly on the market.
If a builder or developers, condos or houses, doesn't matter, if the word got out that they were going to rent the next house, they wouldn't sell the one that's the house before it, because they're not compatible.
But the rented house would be a less, it would be the B model of the 20 homes. In other words, you'd have an A and B standard, and the A standard is long to be sold, the B standard is rented. So you're going to wait for that A standard. I'm just trying to find a way. You know, the idea about a manufactured home in a neighborhood with fixed homes doesn't seem to want to work in my head. But if the idea about manufactured homes are more affordable, therefore they work. We have to find a way to put these less affordable or more affordable homes. Why not just create them within the property itself and make of 20 homes, make 5 of them affordable? By definition, affordable. They don't have the same quality interiors. They don't have all the fancy trim, but they're affordable.
there's nothing stopping a builder from building a neighborhood of rental houses, if that's what makes sense to the builder, to the developer.
Well, if they have to do it, well, we have codes that tell them how to build things. If they want to build it, they follow the code. If we add to our code, 5 out of 20 must be affordable.
You mean for rent?
For rent.
So 5 out of 20 need to be for lease.
Yeah.
Just because they are for rent or lease doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be more affordable than a mortgage payment, because that depends on how much cash you have for a down payment and how long your loan is and what your interest rate is. So I've seen people paying rent that is sufficient to pay a mortgage. If
they want
you
to.
Had
right, right now, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm talking through an area that I just cannot... I would not vote in favor of having manufactured housing or designated manufactured housing shuffled in with more expensive fixed foundational housing. I just would not support that. It's not, in my mind, a good plan. And just because the law says it, the law is bad. It's not rational.
I agree with you. I'm not sure where... Are we saying that infill projects can become manufactured homes? What I mean by infill, so you're in the middle of a neighborhood feeling, and somehow there's a vacant lot, and either never got built on, or the house burned down, or something happened. So that's an infill. Would that be possibly a manufactured home?
It would be. It could be a designated manufactured home.
So pardon the question. I mean, I'm kind of
yep.
asking the question I know the answer to already. Well, what would stop that from happening? Because if you're saying you don't want that to happen, I'm saying, what are the things that are going to keep it from happening?
Thinking about, like you said a half an hour ago, you're here to represent the people that are here. They own this house. They don't want the city to come in and put something beside them that's going to devalue their property.
Agreed.
And that's what we're talking about doing here, putting manufactured homes intermingled with fixed foundational homes. It's going to have downward turn on the value of the community, of the neighborhood.
Right. I agree with you.
It's going to provide a healthy community, but it's going to be at the cost of the existing landowners.
Like, for example, house A, B, and C. House B burns down, and A and C are now on either side of a vacant lot.
Yeah.
That vacant lot owner, for whatever reason, didn't have insurance, or for whatever reason, look, I can't afford to rebuild my house, I'm pulling a modular home in the middle.
Because I can do it.
I guess that could happen today, right? But I argue that home is gone for the folks that haven't had it burned down. And their land at that stage is probably worth more than the house was that burned down. Because now it's a building lot. And a new, brand new house could be built there. So highly likely that either by insurance requirements or something else, they're not going to be able to put or want to put that structure there. They're going to take their $300,000 out of the cash of the land and go wherever they want to go. That's what I'm getting to.
Scott, that house between us, that's a total teardown. You know, when you buy that house, because of the restrictions on the property, what they can build, I guarantee you, the odds are that house is going to be torn down by a fire, and a bigger house goes up.
Not a manufactured house, though.
It won't be.
Or torn down to the studs.
I'm helping us both. Why wouldn't it be a manufactured house?
Because a fixed foundational house builds the value of the property totally. This is a riverfront property, but the river's away from the building. It's a lot that's constrained by a steep slope. They have to build on half of the lot size because of the steep slope. But it's a very modest home. It was built in the early 80s. It's an $800,000 price tag. The house isn't worth $200,000. The land is.
Yep.
So someone's going to buy it, tear it down, build something on it.
The old real estate rule is the land appreciates while the house you built on it depreciates. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's all I'm saying. So I think, or well, I don't agree with the committee's view on this, and that's where I am.
Well, technically, generally speaking, nothing really changed as far as where it was permitted. It was removed from neighborhood business. So,
yes.
Okay, going down.
Well, no, as I understand it, the black peas are added, the red peas.
No, the black is the existing code, the red is changed.
And in that case, it's been stricken from
NB.
Yes, if that helps. Multifamily has been removed from neighborhood business.
Right, and that's kind of the question we get to with the performance standards is, and the discussion about our neighborhood business zone and it being linear along North Bend Way, a pocket down. So it's the neighborhood business zone is in pockets throughout our city.
Jenna, or sorry, Jamie, Jenna, you're missed.
You got Jenna on the mind.
Yes, Jamie. We have duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, and other multifamily dwellings over four units.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way to put in first floor commercial structures with multifamily? Can we define that here as a line item?
So,
a neighborhood business, and you had a first floor commercial. To me, if you had two floors of residential, it's just a way to fit it all in, and you know. If neighborhood business, then it would be a something that works within a community setting. It wouldn't be something
right.
That's loud, and you could have people live there and have that walkability that supports the businesses.
So we have upper floor dwelling units, and that's use 1.54. Shows up on page 3.
Mm-hmm.
That is what a mixed use is.
Okay.
So
that is permitted with neighborhood business. So
yes,
we're defining okay
upper floor dwelling unit. Mm-hmm.
And
so it would have uses that are allowed in NB otherwise residential on the bottom floor, and it could have upper floor dwelling units. Or if it's a professional office, it could be two stories of that office.
We still have the height limit of typical multifamily standards and density of multifamily?
It's for those upper floor dwelling units. Let me just verify that.
Or what density does it adhere to?
It would be... multifamily structures is what I believe it's going to fall under. Let me just make sure before I say. Yeah, other multifamily structures. So 2,000 square feet of lot area per dwelling. Sorry, just saw it after us. 1,000. Upper floor dwelling units in mixed use buildings. Lot area per dwelling unit is 1,000 square feet. Of lot area per dwelling unit.
And density per acre?
It does not, we don't specify that. It's just lot area per dwelling unit. So you could do the math and kind of figure out what that would be. But that'll be a high number probably once you factor in parking. You know, you have to take out roads, parking, other dedications, open space. And then the standard for multifamily is 2,000. Duplex goes up to 3,000.
Change the slide to stay on your point if I'm going to get redirected. So I'm just asking a general question. Does everybody agree that there should be no one living in the neighborhood business zone? Is that the concept? Because that's what this says. That's what's been stricken out of it.
That's what I'm asking with the upper floor dwelling units. If that's the allowance.
Right.
Because if you say yes, they should be, then now it's a matter of where. And that's to your point, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I say the same thing five different ways, but if somebody wants to live, on top of the Shell gas station, have at it. To me, it's, people are going to decide on their own. We don't need to tell them they can't, go.
Yeah. Well, what if it was businesses that were Frankie's Pizza and Verizon and stuff is that newer one by Bartels?
Right.
So if that was a neighborhood business and an upper level there.
I think that's cool as hell. Imagine a guy that runs a pizza place living upstairs. Mm-hmm. Redmond's full of that.
So that's where I think we would want single family residential and neighborhood business. Mm-hmm. That doesn't really make sense, but there could be some
upper floor things.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Upper floor. If it would help bring in business, especially. That might be what the Phoenix is, but that would mm-hmm. be a neighborhood business.
Right. Right.
A concept.
But mm-hmm. it also, Scott, does. You have people living above a business, not only is it kind of cool, but it does change the quality of life in the town for the better, in my opinion, because you've got people who are living in the town, not mm-hmm. visiting it. They actually live in there. They hear the sounds, they you know, all of that. It just makes life a little more interesting for people who like to be in the downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you get to a beer fight in Frankie's, you'd be up probably to midnight or something with that, but living downtown. So I'm sorry that they stripped all of the living opportunities out of the neighborhood business.
We can fix that, Dick.
Yes.
They still have the upper floor, so they still have what you're talking about. That's one point, use 1.54.
Mm-hmm. So that's, I guess, where I have a little bit of, I'm not necessarily comfortable with it in that way, because then there isn't business there. It's not that I'm against duplexes or triplexes.
But it allows the business. It doesn't have to be exclusive. It just says, that amongst this living neighborhood, businesses are allowed, or in other neighborhoods, businesses are not allowed.
Hold on. To your point, Scott, the change is that the multifamily is not permitted. Is that what you're questioning or agreeing with or disagreeing with? I wasn't clear.
I see that it was removed, which I think I agree with is what I was saying. Dick, maybe if I heard him correctly, was saying that if it was intermixed, you know, then I would be, I think that is more useful. It's allowed where you could just put in a mm-hmm. bunch of duplexes, not have any business. I don't know if that meets the intent. Right. So,
thank you. That's now clear. Yeah, appreciate that.
When I went to grammar school, there was a candy store across the street, around the candy store across the street. That little business was allowed. I didn't spot it, so I don't know why it was there. But it wasn't, I would call it, a neighborhood business, but it was a business in the neighborhood. They had fruits and vegetables, you know, for the people who live around the area, but it was just a small little grocery store. And
Jamie, are you still on that?
I wish we had more of those.
Yeah, well, it was just in Bellingham. Some of this too, but it was a residential neighborhood, and there was just like a little restaurant.
Business, and they had a full-on apartment above the store that they built, and during World War II, things were scarce. He, as a boy, and my grandparents lived there, and, you know, that was their home during the, I guess, the war period. And they fixed it up really nice to where it was a nice living unit, you know, for a period of time my dad lived there. And I just think, you know, his sense of being able to have the security over the building, you know, for break-ins and things like that was just, you know, let him sleep easier, you know, in some ways. So I think for some businesses it makes sense for the owner, but then in other areas it makes sense for fitting in density and also creating a quality of life that we don't have. And to go to that quality of life, I want to go back to Jamie, and you were telling us the density is 1,000 square foot. Is that minimum, maximum?
Minimum.
Minimum, okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect. So we can go bigger, is there mm-hmm. a max?
No.
Awesome. Okay.
Do we have, Mr. Chair, do we have in our code the opportunity to build, let's say, a square block in the city, or it's a residential block, are we permitted to build a duplex on each corner of that square lot?
If you're in downtown commercial.
Mm-hmm. And then residential, filling the rest of it in.
And downtown commercial.
Downtown.
All the red zone.
Red zone was in Coos Bay. It wasn't in the red zone. It was in neighborhoods away from the city. But the duplexes were built there where they looked like individual homes, but they had separate carports and separate front doors, but they looked like the same size as the residential that they surrounded. And for the renters in the duplex, they felt like they lived in a housing neighborhood, not in a multifamily neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And it was I was an owner of one of those duplexes, and it was very, very manageable and always full. And it gives people who are going to have the same kind of income the feeling that they're living in a single-family home when they're living in a duplex. But,
and you could also do that in cottage.
Yeah. But it gives the kids a chance, the kids to play with kids in the street. I mean, it gives the renter a chance to feel like what it's like to live in a residential neighborhood. And that's also, I don't know if we have that in this town or not, but we ought to be promoting that. In a lot of our newer home projects, where we're building single-family dwellings that allow duplexes to be worked in, where they don't look like duplexes, but they are. And that came to mind about this renting among ownership. That's really what you're doing. You're renting in the duplex when the other people around you are owning. And you get to experience ownership from your neighbors. I don't know if we've talked about that enough or not, but I think that's a
right. Yeah, you guys could continue to think about that and even address it with these amendments. I mean, at least a recommendation to council. Because that's a simple P. Yes, we'd want to see it in this zone. You know, will you consider it? Everything else is already set up.
I say we put P's everywhere.
They took a lot out. Yeah.
I do have a question on page 3 of 15, if we're still on that page.
Yes.
I'm looking at 1.32A and B. Mm-hmm. CLDR zone, we permit family daycare in one, but we don't child daycare.
Right. I think they're defined differently. A child care center is more of a commercial use, like a kindergarten or something. Family is in a home.
Yes.
So I'm guessing that is why.
And since it's already in the code, see, I reacted to this differently. I thought that that the committee was, all these dark P's are for the first time, this is their idea, and they were taking away the red zone. But since it's already in the books, but it's ludicrous to think you're going to put an Encompass type of a structure. Mm-hmm. And anything less than an acre and a half. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're not going to be putting it into a residential community. You just can't.
Mm-hmm.
Too much traffic, too much everything.
Are they on sewer right now? Encompass?
No, they are not.
No sewer
over there. So I should be asking how far away is the pipe?
It was going to be just as far away as those ball fields, but they're not going in.
We'll come back to that. I didn't mean to change the subject. I have one more. 1.5.2.
Mm-hmm.
EP1, EP2. There's several right now inside those zones that are residential, just because they were there, right? I think in both of those zones, if I'm not mistaken.
Existing single-family homes in EP1 and EP2.
I feel like it's in both of them.
There might be some, but not... Yeah, there's like four or five properties on 140th that are single family. that have the overlay kind of go around them. There could be some spotty ones here and there otherwise.
So if that's true, then why wouldn't we allow those people who are grandfathered otherwise to have ADUs in their backyards?
Yeah, that's a good point. Right, so there's been no change there on accessory dwelling units.
Yeah, what you said is it kind of needed to be a single family existing to make it.
To make it, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if the distinction between things that are in grandfathered in or something and new is a little misleading. I don't know how many people just look at this, but, you know,
if they wanted to do something.
Yeah, so if you want to do something, and it's there's nothing on there now. Yeah. Existing home prior to code.
I think that's just inherent because of our definitions of accessory. You have to have a primary. So I think it probably makes a lot of sense to add it in.
We could do it with a footnote.
To EP1 and EP2. I mean, there's no...
wherever there may be.
Right, wherever there may be. Right.
Okay. You should allow ADU.
Yep.
I'd like to discuss that a little bit.
Carry on.
Because if we want our employment park zones that are the largest, like, lot areas to be a good corporate center, mm-hmm. do we want to encourage more single-family development in there, whether it be an ADU or anything? I hear your argument about, you know, the family who needs to move in and out and the changes in life that occur, and I agree with you in that sense. But on the other side of that, it makes it easier for the lot to develop if they're not so ingrained in the area.
So that logic is ingrained in so many things that it's always bothered me when somebody has been using something as a certain use for so long and they have a plumbing leak and they have to replace the kitchen and they've got to bring the whole house up to code and they just have to take it down. That's the concept. And I go the other way. It's like, you know, what if we're going to allow somebody, wherever they live, to have a right based on some criteria? In this case, it's they have a home. Then we should allow them to use everything else that everybody else would have when they have a home. They have to have enough space. They have to hook it up to whatever the sewer, the septic. They have to follow the rules. But to on the logic of, hey, you know, you're really not fitting the zone we have overlaid recently. I know you've been there 20 years before we created this zone, but we're not going to let you keep doing what you're doing. Ugh, my hair's falling out.
Yeah, I know. That's the story that I suppose that happens. Mm-hmm. Did I hear anybody ask about what is the difference between an ADU and an ARU?
Accessory residential use.
Where is ARU?
Right above ADU.
Okay, the one that's lighted.
That could be a shed that's not... permitted because it's under the size. It could be anything accessory to a home. And so we took that out because it just doesn't make a lot of sense. If you have a residence, you can have accessory uses. And, you know, if it's a sport court or a pool,
that's so basically an ADU replaces the ARU.
An ADU is specific to a dwelling unit. An accessory residential use could be a shed, a workshop.
It's not an extra living quarters. It's yeah. the use of the land.
Yeah.
Use of the land.
It could be an art gallery.
Yep.
So could it be a garage then?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but you've removed it. It's not permitted anymore.
We have just...
eliminated.
Well, because...
It's
available. It's inherent that if you have a residence, you can have accessory uses. And a lot of them we may not have to permit. If it's a building, we would.
Okay, so an ADU is replaced the ARU.
Two different things.
Two different things, yep.
Okay, well, speaking strictly from what I know, what I have on my property, we have a separate standalone building. The prior owner used it for a shop and then upstairs, mother-in-law apartment. Art gallery. So it's being used in conjunction with the residents. She doesn't settle any problems. She just does her art up there.
Yep, no problem.
So that's what we're talking about.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
I prefer pickleball, by the way.
Okay. Because I think that particularly in the large lot residential areas, you're going to have a lot of those.
Right, and multiple uses.
Hey. You know, they'd like to get away from the TV and have a quiet place to work.
Or, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So the change, Jim, you're asking for is to add P in EP1 and EP2?
Under 1.52.
Yes. Okay. All right, flipping over to page 4 of 15.
Can we go back just to define what co-housing is? 2.2.1.
Yes, co-housing is not defined, and it doesn't have a statutory definition either, and it was just kind of a weird one that, you know, if you're not going to define it, let's just stay out of it. That's more of a tenant thing, if people want to rent out their house to multiple people, and then we talk about, what do we have? I thought we had, like, boarding house is a defined term, and some of the other uses. So that was why it came out. Right.
It's, I think it's similar to some of the cottage things that we've been,
right.
been talking about, where there's certain person, they all front a garden and there might
right.
be a community house.
Right.
Like that. But there would be certain rules that they all might agree to and abide by.
Right. And so they're similar to like adult family home is in here. But it was mostly because it's just not defined and. Doesn't mean it's not allowed, you know.
Adult family home is almost exclusively for adults that have disabilities.
Right.
But community homes you're talking about, that's not necessarily people in front of
you. No. It's, yeah, it's just a set of kind of rules and, I don't know, credos or something.
It's, I have sort of a definition. It's to your point of it could be through leases, it could be through shared ownership. Common ownership of the land, multiple families that aren't related sharing the land, and cottage housing, if you think about how people would live in those properties, that's really co-housing done with a U.S. twist on it. So there's another example.
And I think that you buy and you do own your, kind of own some things. I don't know if it's exactly your house or your parcel, but I know that when they
like, share, you buy a share of the property.
Yeah, because when they replace, you don't just replace your roof; they go and replace all the roofs in the place.
Kind of like a condo idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's something we'd have to look at in the future. Yeah. It's not defined.
But there's nothing that would prohibit that, and that would be separate from a city approval.
However, we may try to define it. Right now, it's permitted.
Right.
That was one of my things under the cottage housing conversation. I wanted to make sure that all made sense for people to be able to get to it. It's a cool way to live if you can handle it.
All right. Are we now clear to move to page 4 of 15? And anything under interim housing facilities?
I have no idea what that is. I had an adult question.
Yes.
3.01.
Interim, well, to me that would be like a halfway house.
Oh, no. This is adult entertainment facility. Should I explain
no.
it to you?
No. 1.55, where are you?
I thought we were
right down to 2.0.
No, land use. I'm still on land uses. I didn't go to commercial yet.
You're on 3 of 15?
No, 4 of 15, the top of the page, land uses, interim housing facilities, and unlisted residential use. Those two lines. Before we get to commercial.
Housing facilities are exactly what?
It's probably defined. Let me see what it says. Those facilities that provide temporary housing for homeless persons. And I believe that is one that we also are required to have. State law. because we took single family out of NB.
Okay, Ms. Burrell, do you have anything from Bakes Marine? When will you be providing
that? I do. I don't have it with me today, I don't think. But yes, Bakes Marine came and met with us informally. There's no pre-application or anything. They're down in Issaquah. They've been there almost 30 years. And they were interested to move up in North Bend somewhere. The property they were looking at was neighborhood business zone. It's a little kind of flag lot off of North Bend Way. And so when council committee was working through this, they came and met with me. So then I took that to council committee. And their council committee's overall thought process, like I said in the intro memo, was to reduce auto and associated uses in NB and keep those at the interchanges. So off the cuff, they didn't support it, but I'd be happy to bring you guys what they brought and you could give it a look. There's a little old abandoned gas station on the lot they were looking at that's white, and they were looking at adding a large building behind it that would be basically storage for now, and then their business would expand in the future, they thought. So for now, it would be limited in employment, jobs, and it would largely be a big building for boat storage.
Is that the transmissions place, the old transmissions place?
Yeah. Okay. Yep, I think it was. Yep.
So at this point, for the Planning Commission, for Section 2.0 commercial, under our newly and yet approved Planning Commission procedures, we have appearance of fairness. My wife and I, or my wife was involved in the PEPS group when your first child is born. It's a mom's group that you get together with other moms. And through that group, 7 years later, we are still friends with Becky and Paul Gregoire, who is the president of Bakes Marine. So therefore, I will recuse myself from this section's discussion.
If I may offer...
I do not have a financial gain. It's only personal relationship.
If I may offer it, perhaps we need to run this by legal if you're concerned at all. My understanding of the disclosure is that you've disclosed it.
Right.
And you may not be a party to the vote, but you can be in the discussion.
Correct. And if there's not a financial gain, I think that you can still vote. You do not have to recuse yourself completely.
If the Planning Commission does not object.
Yeah, I think that's the rub. If the commission accepts your disclosure and doesn't see any problem with it. Although I see a lot of problems with it, so. Yeah, we're in the 2.0 area here.
I have one.
I have a general comment about the committee, what the committee is doing with the NB zone. I think it's very prejudicial. They seem to be taking away all the uses that I, as a homeowner, would like to have access to without driving 10 miles out of my way. Having a car wash in my neighborhood would be luxury. Yeah. Having a mini storage in my neighborhood would be a luxury. Putting all these uses out on the highway. And they're making us buy these small homes with no storage in them at all. So we have to go to storage units to put our stuff. And it's all on the state line. You want to have these peppered around the community where people get to them. That makes the most sense to me. And yet they're taking them all out. Mm-hmm. And so I don't get it.
Right.
They definitely seem to be targeting these uses out of the community, out of the neighborhoods. I'd like to understand a little better. We have very, very antiseptic communities, all little pristine neighborhoods, but again, the edges on them.
Mr. Lattimore. procedure. Would you mind taking over as chair duty during this section?
I'm happy to.
Thank you, sir.
Do I hear a motion adjourned?
Perfect.
If we would have adopted those procedures, though, it did say 9.
We're not at 9 yet. And it's
I did notice the previous meeting lasted until 10:30.
Yeah.
We had a wealth of discussion.
In your stead, I'll step in where I think it's appropriate. How's that?
Well, there's not much on page 4 that really has any discussion going for it. I just made a comment on this that I'll say every time I see it.
Well, yeah, and you guys are making your recommendation, which it doesn't have to be tonight. You can give this thought and come back and put your peas where you want them and take them out where you want them, just like council committee did.
Point of information, Mr. Chair Lucky, that Commissioner Gildersleeve will be providing some questions that she has to staff. So I ask the commission not to vote until she gets a chance to have her input.
That seems reasonable. Good doubt we're going to make it all the way through this.
I don't think we have the luxury of understanding why the majority or the unanimous vote to take out car washes on page 4 and taking out retail service shops on page 5 and tire shops on taking all those out of neighborhood business. But just I don't understand why they did it. I'd like to have them try to understand why I disagree with that.
Right. So process-wise, when I was briefing management on this is where we're at with permitted uses, now it's Planning Commission's turn, and they'll have a hearing, and they'll deliberate on it. This will go to a council work study, and that would be, I think, great if you guys could come, and maybe it's a joint meeting or something, because it was 3 members committee, you know, making these suggestions, and so we definitely will have a work study.
The last time I was invited to one of those, I was told I couldn't speak.
At a work study meeting or a committee meeting?
I was told I couldn't speak. I said I couldn't speak.
I would hum until they allowed me.
And so I gave them the finger and left. Yeah, I was invited to come, but I couldn't speak.
That has happened to me at a committee meeting.
Fiefdom. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
I was saying. Don't agree with
that. Can we talk about my adult issue now?
Yeah, let's get your adult payment.
What use?
Remind me of what CUP is.
Conditional use permit.
So.
And there's performance standards associated with that asterisk on the far left.
That
so.
Sounds funny to me when you say performance standards. So I guess with it, if it's going to be a conditional use permit somewhere, why just D.C.?
That's the only place it's allowed.
Well, I see that now, but I'm saying
right.
I'm trying to apply logic to the decision because we're looking at it, and I thought to myself, well, I'm sure a lot of folks in town, the entire North Bend Way would say it's not anywhere. Like the marijuana conversation, we have to allow it somewhere or risk litigation, I'm assuming, if somebody would come to us with that case. So I'm not sure where to go with the question other than to what I said. I wonder if the conditional use permit is restrictive enough, if it's well-defined, or we just said conditional use permit when somebody comes in and wants to.
Right, so the conditional use permit would be a hearing examiner, and it would be similar to like any sort of site plan approval or development process where if you condition it and you can come up with conditions that are not anticipated here, they have to abide by those.
So I keep asking rhetorical questions, I should say that before I ask them. The piece that also rubs me is that the DC is red on their map. At the center of they're hoping to drive businesses and growth and higher density. some of our folks out there would argue that around the corner from the 7-Eleven, the Quick Stop, and on the way to school, and on the way to the bus stop, and that's kind of, if we're going to have a conditional use permit, it strikes me that maybe it ought to be in another zone, not that one.
Right, I think the idea when it did, was put there was just not to tuck it somewhere off the beaten track either. So
yeah,
have it.
Along the highway, you know, where you have traffic.
Right, and I don't think there was a desire to have
if that
happen.
Like that, I want on the highway where at maximum exposure, the maximum
right.
traffic.
Like the interchange commercial.
Right.
So anyway, has the conditional use permit, is that vetted already?
Yeah, it's okay. been established for a long time in our code here.
Right.
It's a public process, so.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll move down to car wash 2.03, if I may. To Dick's point earlier, I agree that the car wash noise, that activity, cars coming, I mean, some of the car washes run into so much activity that they literally tear up the concrete coming and going from the car wash. There's so much traffic, more so than that in the intersection.
Mm-hmm.
So from that perspective, I can see that doesn't belong near residential use, but pretty much any other use, to me, it fits. And so EP1 and EP2, to me, are the same from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But Jim, I'm looking at it at the neighborhood business, which is a business core surrounded by residential property. In other words, the business isn't next to a house. It's, mm-hmm. it's we could be talking about four corners of a large four-block area, but neighborhood business would be in the four corners of that neighborhood. You'd have a car wash in one corner of that.
I'm okay with it being deleted.
Right, so that was one of our docket items, as you know, and council committee has recommended not allowing it in EP1 and also no NB. So that'll be coming to council August 1st.
Bicycles?
Don't we have a right to have a car wash in town, just like we have a right to build a manufacturing on the site?
I think it's just having it in the outsides of town.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting it, I guess, in the highway commercial ICs,
And I guess just in general for me, what I think of the neighborhood business, it's on page 6 and 7, 2.05 to 2.21. Those kinds of services.
Mm-hmm.
Supermarket is the scale you want in a neighborhood business. Over there on 2.14,
mm-hmm.
there's grocery / supermarket. Go with the grocery. But I don't want a 100,000 square foot Safeway in a neighborhood business. I'm sorry, I was going with where Scott was going.
Yeah.
Looking at all the uses on the NVs. That's out of scale in my mind, just like hotels. I wouldn't want to have a three-story hotel. Two, that becomes more like a motel, it seems to me. So we're hotels, in a hotel, you folks, three stories and up. I don't know why. It sounds like it does. For motels, 1 to 2 stories.
As the acting chair, if I may, I'll recommend we go page to page here so we won't lose track of the
conversation.
Did you have something else on that page? Page 4, I think it's the one you're on.
Page 4.
We're talking car wash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next point I was going to make on that page had to do with electric vehicles. 2.03. I don't recall off when I'm making notes here, the far right, almost the last right column.
Mm-hmm.
E and B, What are those again?
That's the East North Bend. That's the Truck Town, the Green Hatched, and then the Tanner Landing. So those are overlays.
Right.
And the Tanner Landing overlay.
So is it an oversight that on 2.03 that it's not included in the EV?
2.03, are you talking C?
C, sorry.
C?
Well, actually, all of them. 2.03s. I mean, it seems like a charging station is a...
Right.
Logistically, should be allowed anywhere that it makes sense to have one. If we're going to start having Leafs driving around all over the place. Not to mention Teslas.
It might be... I would have to look at the overlay language... But that doesn't make a lot of sense. I was thinking maybe the overlay language specifically said
East
you have
North
to.
Bend, is that ENB? Is that East North Bend?
East North Bend, Master Plan Overlay District.
Okay.
And Limited Commercial Overlay. Okay, I will check on that.
And the follow-on to that is under like Echo, the standalone version of the electric charging station seems to only be allowed in one place.
Yes.
So the standalone is just like a phone booth concept?
Right. Right. And that is only allowed, standalone use, it's only allowed out at the freeways. Yep.
I'm just not clear. To me, they belong in every place we have a gas station today.
Right. So that would be...
Park and ride.
Right.
Today.
Yep.
And probably some accommodation based on economies of... many parking spaces around town that are
right.
Allocated.
It's not like the city has to provide it, it just has to be allowed by the city. There.
Right, so that's 2.03D, if it's accessory to.
It should be allowed to.
Right, now you're talking my language. Just have to say yes, and they have to figure it out.
I think there's a special definition for that 2.03C is what I'm remembering, but I'll verify that for next time.
I think if we just ask the question, it'll come back to us.
Yep.
And they're saying electrical charging stations, probably there's no place there shouldn't be one from our planning perspective.
Are there any hazards to electric charging stations? What would be a hazard?
Stick your hand in the hole.
So a little kid walking by just wants to play a joke on Johnny. He says, stick your finger in here.
I don't think it's that easy. I've never actually used one.
Yeah,
I think he's going, you have to pay for it first. Well, Johnny's got the credit card, though. That's the problem. I'll tell you a story about putting a copper wire in a light socket in sixth grade. Pop.
Yeah.
Get tennis shoes on. So, sorry. If I'm missing over anybody, step up. I'm just going down the list.
Yeah.
So I'm on page 5. Anybody else have before that?
Object to removing repair and service shops from MB, and then reject removing tire shops from MB. These are neighborhood businesses.
The paint body is the first one I see. Is that what you're looking at?
2.031.
I.
That's a, actually it's an L. 2.03L, repair and service shop.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't understand how that was determined, like snowmobiles okay, but the tire shop isn't.
Yeah, motorcycles, it's the alternate season, right?
I mean, you got a gas station, you know, the gas station don't repair tires, but most of them do.
Mm-hmm. I'm in agreement there.
So, Jamie, question on this. We're going through these, kind of
right.
Talking through them.
Right.
At some point, we'd like to have a motion made, so
right.
We can send it to council.
Right.
Are you waiting another 2 weeks to do that?
Right. I don't think you're going to get through it all tonight. I think you're having a lot of good discussion, but I think we're going to have to go through page by page again and make sure we've confirmed. And I don't know that you need a motion for each P that you want to add. Consensus probably works, unless it's...
Contended.
Yeah, contended, and you want to take a vote.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for that clarification, since we're now on page 5 of 15, is it possible we might expedite our conversation in the next 15 minutes and kind of walk through these just really quick, questions and answers?
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do a vote tonight. If we can agree on that.
Yeah.
All right. And they had 4 meetings, so I'm glad to hear that we're not
Right. No. No.
That's one of my concerns going into this.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
So we're on 515, and your comment about snowmobile versus paint body and motorcycle and repair shops that have been deleted from NV.
I don't even know where I stand on it. I guess it just, it's a confusing situation.
I think a lot of it was look and feel. Jobs was always a thought. You know, is it creating jobs? And what's the look and feel? What do we what do we want to see?
Page six. So this is kind of an interesting, sounds political actually, 2.03 Ars and Robert. We got rid of towing and impound yard and we described the towing and impound yard associated with a repair and service shop. So
mm-hmm.
if the guy wants to run a tow truck business, he better have a service shop.
Yep.
Huh. Is that typical?
That's what I'm getting to. Kind of somebody doing a hybrid for a reason.
Yeah, it's been that way for a few years. That came up.
It's kind of like the IRS says you have a business as long as you're trying to earn an income. That's kind of odd.
I think it, pulling out permitted uses in the EP1, EP2 for rental equipment, you know, out in that area, you're going to have, they want to promote storage in EP1 and 2. Every storage business has rental trucks and rental equipment there to use, moving your stuff in and out. So this is not very deep thinking, I'm sorry to say, on the council to take out those uses when they're including storage in those self-pay zones and put them back in.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Is there something with sales?
Like retail sales, yes.
Well, Dick's talking about it quicker on like boom trucks. And
right.
But I mean, is there like, that's just a rental, but
it's not sales.
Yeah.
Right.
So is there
a, I believe there,
part of commercial turning to
rental?
Including sales? I don't know, I'm trying to probably. To make the business more robust or something like that, because I think that's where the intent was. As far
yeah, well, they'd be in the rental business first, right? They could probably sell. But they wouldn't be in the sales business.
These others usually sell their used equipment.
Right, right. Most likely. Or you break one and have to buy it.
There's equipment rental. Right, so are you saying if there's not another spot for sales, could 2.11 say equipment rental and sales?
I don't know if that's where I was going with
it. Okay. To go back one on, make sure I got it, did you want me for now to put, you were looking at storage facilities and you all agreed who are here tonight? To add some of those back in? Okay.
One other kind of footnote, I'm guessing, read between the lines, so 2.04, which is banks and financial institutions. I don't think that the restriction may apply to a bank, brick and mortar kind of business. I think if you think about the check cashing, as it also in that
I believe
it's a subset,
right.
But,
so if it was an accessory use to a bank, part of the bank, it'd be allowed. But if it's a standalone, check cashing, not allowed. Okay.
So the local 7-Eleven who does money grams can also do check cashing?
Yep.
Okay. Can we go to page 7? It strikes me as the funeral home, mortuary, only in one zone.
Page 7, you said?
Page 7, 2.3.
It certainly narrows the area.
To where it is right now.
Yeah.
Right? Which is like...
The somebody must be thinking that the 3-1 was where the cemetery is, but that's not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of storage facilities, that's the only place that a storage facility.
And that's where we have one.
Yeah.
Huh.
A lot of things you gotta go over.
Yeah, I mean, if you were a funeral home director, you don't already have your old building that you're in.
Yeah.
You're not gonna necessarily want to go to the overlook district. You're gonna want to go kind of friendly space. Suggest we come back to that and try to figure out a way to. I'd like to add a few more zones.
So they do have, they've muddied it up by saying mortuary with funeral home. Those are two different.
Well, mortuary, is that necessarily a crematorium?
Yes, it's for
you. Yeah, so that's where the smoke.
Just saying.
But the council wisdom's taken it out everywhere except for the CUSOD.
The urban separator up off of Bulch, the blue area, as you go towards Snoqualmie.
It's a good company name for something that sells you, grass you, and store yourself.
Maybe this can go into that Meadowbrook Farm party house they have.
That'd be good. The longhouse.
I don't know, you guys.
Mr. Chair, since this has nothing to do with my fairness conflict, I would support putting that P back in neighborhood business.
I like it. I agree. Count, we're 7 minutes away from our original targeted goal of wrapping up by 9. We're on page 7. Anybody else for page 7?
7's not very exciting.
Objection going on.
Who wants to make a shout out for recreation parks?
Where are you?
Page, back on page 7, on 8.22.
Is that right?
It was.
Looks like it's
under. It was added but then removed, yeah, from EP1, EP2.
So, just for clarification, what can be allowed in a recreational vehicle park?
Let's see, I think I saw it defined here. Use of land upon which two or more recreational vehicle sites, including hookup facilities, are located for occupancy by the general public for recreation or as temporary living quarters or vacation. So that's broadly how we define it, and then there's a lot more to it than that, but...
Take an RV on the freeway, a place to spend the night.
Right. Time limited. Yep.
So can it be a tiny home on wheels coming and going?
Sure. Yeah, if it's licensed, I think. Yeah.
Suggesting we should add it somewhere?
Well, if we're a destination city for recreational uses, shouldn't we have a recreational park?
I think we should.
Yeah.
And I think the thought was we think we're going to get one in IC. Is EP1 a good spot? Because, again, employment generating. Well, so.
It's a placeholder. It says we want a recreational park in town. Do we get a proper zone for it? I think EP1 2 is a proper placeholder for it.
It was also taken out of that Tanner Landing, which might be a mute point if that goes away anyways.
When would this potentially be in force? In an imaginary, all positive world, are we talking 6 months?
End of the year, yep. Before the end of the year.
Okay.
Ideally, maybe. One way or the other.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, because of the moratorium
yeah.
and the interim rigs we have in place, either that or we renew them, so.
Okay. Anything else on page 7?
So, the last of page 7 and the top of page 8, we've tried to define restaurants. But in this pitiful, we have, we're thinking about drive-through and coffee stands, but why not have a full service stand, a name in here? Like, non-drive-through would be, that's where you probably find a full service definition, but I'm talking about full service, including alcoholic beverages. I mean,
how about word to have the word bar?
That, you know. We're going about coffee stands and drive-through restaurants.
So the options are drive-through, non-drive-through.
Yeah.
Or.
Why not full service and non-full service?
Right.
I mean, why are we.
Why can't we just talk about it?
Let's not get into that.
I was going to say, it's coming up on 9 o'clock.
You've got a bar on there.
It has to be
a... You like some outdoor seating while
that's right.
A use thing.
Patio in the sun.
Right, so that's a non-drive-thru. That's a full restaurant.
Doesn't say that.
Yeah. If you don't have a drive-thru, you can have a restaurant.
Is it implied somewhere that a restaurant is not drive-thru? And there's where people can go to imbibe? Is that
sure.
somewhere in the...
I think that's just inherent, but yes.
We're talking about marijuana use by name. We talk about...
There are bars and taverns.
Yeah, there is a social fraternal club.
Including microbreweries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that shows 2.05.
We have gotten that far.
We got that far. I mean, it doesn't address the food thing, but I know a lot of microbreweries... snacks, at least, a lot of times will be just kind of like Brickyard was, you know, that kind of thing, where they have a restaurant.
Well, as much as I like having the colas here, for example, the food problem is still a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's, you don't want to have people drinking and not having
right.
anything.
Right. I guess they let you bring your own food, right?
They do, but it's...
Okay. It's people don't as much, yeah.
So if I may, for the good of the order, the time is now 9:41. We agree to stop at 9, I believe. If we'd like to buy more time,
pay up.
We'll do so in 10-minute increments. What's the call? Raise your hand if you want to buy 10 minutes, or we can call the meeting.
Yeah.
All right, 10 minutes it is. 9:10.
When I see this, what comes to my mind are our high schools. Now, we don't have a high school in our city, do we? So that would be good. But it's seems like our schools, are they normally schools? Our schools are in neighborhoods. Are in some others? No.
All times.
Right.
It's not unreasonable thinking that 5 years, somebody's going to be in high school.
So I'm just looking at you've got a, all high schools have an auditorium, so it seems to me that you're talking about, it should be more definitive in what you're talking about in terms of auditorium and theater if you're talking about.
Right, if they're part of a high school, then they would be permitted with accessory use with the high school.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's covered.
Yep, that would be.
Make sure it's covered. This is the mini storage gripe I have. They took, they're not allowed for any mini storage in either the business park, in the neighbor business park or in the IC. We only really want it on the USOD.
Yeah.
And I think mini storages need to be closer to the people, where they live.
Yeah, I agree. It might be nice, I guess, to just tuck all the storage units all the way in this one spot, which doesn't make any sense to put them all way over there. Mm-hmm. I know there's I think there's one over there, or maybe more, by the outside gym, but mm-hmm. otherwise people would have to, like, tear down houses or clear-cut some property and put it in. Might be some of these other neighborhood businesses already zoned that are already flat and disturbed and everything. So...
The one next to where we live, the one over there, like you're talking about, the bike and compass.
Yeah.
And I can't think of it. Also, the one down there by the forest.
There is, yeah, one. That's like enclosed. The one by us has the outdoor boats, cars, and campers. Yeah. So, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but I think that the mini storage is very low key.
Certainly can be, and I think that at least in the NB zone, that's where you find it. Right down by the gas station.
Well, you know, went after to buy and seen the storage right on North Bend Bay. Look at that magnificent view, and I see storage. So I think a lot of people can get caught mm-hmm. up on that. Here's this magnificent viewpoint, and here's storage on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the real value is that is a really important aspect to. You know, connection,
yeah.
Getting closer to it. So if you can think beyond it, people get caught up on the location.
Mm-hmm.
I think. And they make their decision based on that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this is what happened, but
mm-hmm.
I do think we need more storage spaces dotted around, like you're saying, and not just thrown mm-hmm. in one area.
We're famous.
Everything's over there.
Well, they're five stories downtown, right? Storage units are five stories, elevator included.
That's another thing.
Oh, recording up the lap on that. That's storage town.
What about the indoor storage? What would that example of that be?
Carnation has one. So it's a larger building. I don't know if we do on any of ours. I guess the one off North Bend Way. Doesn't that have an indoor, that bigger building?
Cascade.
So I think of that more,
so inner units, inside.
Right, you go into the building, then you get into the units. Right.
Okay.
Mini storage is more the roll-up doors for each individual.
Okay.
Yep.
Should that line 2.29B, like Bravo, shouldn't it say the word storage? Otherwise, someone might not.
Well, 2.29 is storage facilities, so indoor, outdoor, mini are the.
I'm asking you, how do you know that? Just because it's a subset for 2.29?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So far I had you added a P for now, and I think what we'll do is bring the projector and kind of go through it when we get to that point.
Cool.
In the NBAP for the 2.29A, and then I guess there I heard some disagreement before on indoor general 2.29B taking that out of EP 1 and 2. Indoor general as well.
Yeah. I don't see that as that much like, different yeah. from anything. You might think that
indoor general
concerning views and things, it might look better indoor right. general because then just right. like a building rather than the roll up doors.
Right.
So. Maybe we have all these buildings built underground so we don't ruin the view.
Yes.
Scott, are you saying you
secret.
One or the
Earth is looking
for
a job.
I think both A and C.
I was going to be buried above ground, but I'm not going to be buried above ground. Sorry, I don't want to ruin your view, Mary.
Well, I'm just, these are just thoughts that people have said to me through the years, and I'm like, just complaints I hear.
It's a big deal. If you're driving through town, you can't see what people come here for.
The Highlands has an indoor one that's really nice.
Yeah,
that's
right.
It looks
like
a really nice building right down the street from the LEED certified housing.
And the, Transit Center.
Usually a U-Haul truck parked out front, but it's just plunged right in.
Yeah.
Still on page 8?
East Lake Sammamish Parkway has one.
Page 9. How are everybody else doing?
I'm there.
In 3 minutes, do you buy some more plan?
Be more expensive.
It's going to cost you.
That's a mixed-use mixed-use building. Mixed-use horizontal.
Holy cow.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
I don't
know that one.
You caught me off guard, Dick.
Yes.
Industrial, I'll come back in.
Why did they not give us one of the illustrious P's under the Commercial Truck Travel Center 2.33? I see what they've done, but I'm wondering why.
Because the overlay defines it more specifically and limits it, so it allows it in a certain portion of that overlay and limits the growth of it.
Okay.
That's why.
But does every citizen know that when they look through our codes to see what they
can No, if it wasn't allowed, it wouldn't say anything. So this implies, I think, that if you go to this section, you'll find out more information, and it's not easy to just say half of a P. Somewhat allowed.
I don't find any difference in opinion with the rest of us. So. Okay, make up this manufacturing.
Lucky, would you like me to take it back over? I will not charge the commission for any 10-minute time.
Wait until they buy their time, then you can have it back. Carry on, sir, Mr. Chair. You now have the gavel.
I have the con. All right. Food and beverage products, furniture and fixtures, handcrafted products.
Single out handcrafted products 3.18.
It's kind of a catch-all, you know, if you that's the challenge with this list is
it's production.
Well,
how it's produced is
right.
That defines handcrafted as much as pottery or woodworking. My question would be, well, a lot of guitars are handcrafted, but you could have, you know, 50 guitars a day being made. That would be some
right.
significant.
I think it's less intensity is kind of the assumption, too. It doesn't clearly define, but you're not going to be manufacturing tons coming off a conveyor line.
It's good that the reader understands they have to read the heading before they read the subheading, because I'm just looking at handcraft thinking everyone does handcraft at home, but this is a manufactured use. So we're talking about
right.
automatically something out of the residential area.
Right.
Could this be a quilting shop?
Sure.
I guess the industrial quilting.
That's right.
I think we're under industrial.
Actually, instead of little ladies, it's big burly men.
That's interesting.
I don't know, 3.27 rubber products gives me a little bit of pause, and I just think about the emissions that would come out of that, and I don't know if that would be a good fit for our city, and to think about where we have the EP zones, how it would impact, you know, residential structures around it.
Right. I think there would have to be studies done to show no impact for that.
Again, I have to ask, why is rubber products spelled out?
It's because there's some specific regulations around them.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's related to health, air quality.
Right. Plastics products is above.
Mm-hmm. Is it rubber a textile?
Well, if you're making hoses.
Hazardous waste treatment. Now I know we treat our sewage, but we don't have any hazardous waste treatment.
The performance standard says permitted as an accessory use only to permitted activities in zones generating hazardous waste, provided that they meet siting criteria of RCW. So it's only an accessory use, so it's some other allowed use that this is a product. Right.
Hazardous waste every day. If we didn't allow that they could have the accessory use to remedy their hazardous waste, they'd have to take it off site, which arguably could be
more okay. So we're not driving through town. We're not importing.
It's not a standalone, yeah, right. Facility.
Bring it on in. Andrew's not too far away.
Storage trucks and hazardous waste. We can have all three. Well, we're bright and cheery.
So, Jamie, to that point, to make it clear for the reader, should we have something that says accessory use or something to that effect? if that's what it truly means. Because
right.
like hazardous waste treatment doesn't say to me that it's...
Right. That asterisk tells you go to a performance standard, but we could... I don't see a problem with that.
I see the asterisk.
Yeah, but you could say... You could add accessory on-site hazardous waste treatment. I mean, if you guys like, but...
I think that makes it clear for somebody reading that the intent right. is not that you can do this as a standalone
office visit from the concerned citizen.
Or somebody that's looking
trying to push it through, yeah.
I had a neighbor this week ask me where to dispose of her gasoline, and she chose to do it in the lawn next to the river. So that's hazardous waste.
And it probably killed the lawn, too.
You can take it to any, like, auto store. They take oil and gas.
Or the King County Recycle Days, yep.
Well, I use mine every Sunday night for the barbecue.
Or that.
Or the bonfire.
I suggested it working.
We're on page 12. Is that
page 11. Golf driving range.
I think that should go in the IC.
Guys, golf driving ranges, can I just tell you, there are some that are like three stories tall that serve drinks and food and are really sweet and be awesome for our city.
Great view.
Oh my gosh, neighborhood business right along North Bend Way looking at Mount Si.
Yep.
Could you imagine? And the hot tub on top for you. is there an appetite to
that must be next to the cigar bar though.
You're in charge, Chief.
Well, I'd like to see more peace in more places. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
What would you guys think would be appropriate for that? Because I think that neighborhood business would be an awesome benefit to the community.
You would think it would employ quite a few if it were that caliber.
The other thing I'd say, overview, it's almost like the last iteration of these changes was something they were trying to control where things went as opposed to allow them to go wherever they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's going to build a golf course in downtown. So why would we have a problem having it be a permitted use if somebody wanted to figure out a way to buy the town and make it a golf course? that's extreme, but making my point, I think. So there's not enough peas for most things here, I think.
Mm-hmm. I had a comment on the open space, park trail, and recreation, and maybe there's something in the zone for CLDR, but why couldn't we have... It seems like that would, because it is constrained, it would be a good place to have a park or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why
I agree. I think it's a new zone, and it just wasn't oversight. So it was, unless there's an objection, put a P there, 4.10, under CLDR.
Mm-hmm.
Let's add a P.
No, well, with that being said, can dog park somehow be part of park?
Mm-hmm.
Specific? Because we don't leave anything for that. Okay, no?
It's not
okay.
Separate now, no.
All right.
Yeah, it's not. It's not called out, yeah.
The reason why I keep bringing that up is that we're going to max out that, so don't call me dog park.
Right.
It's jailed.
Jamie, right now somebody wanted to... Somebody wanted to create a dog park.
Right.
What would they do? Just because we haven't spelled
right.
it out.
Most of them are public. I can't think of any that are private, but and part of another park. But somebody could come in privately, sure,
and
buy a lot and develop it, yeah.
Can we also go to our parks department and appear
sure.
at their meeting and ask for one to be created?
Sure.
Tanner Landing.
I'll have Mike bring it up with him.
Yeah, because
maybe they've already discussed it, and I don't know.
King County currently requires the dogs to stay on leash in that park.
And they
which,
do push that. Yeah. And they watch over that very carefully.
Yeah. So it would be a good place for the city to take that
What's
on.
The point of going to a dog park, walking a dog on a leash?
Well, it's not a dog park. It's just a park.
Gotcha. Yes.
Tell the dogs that.
Yeah.
They want to run and play fetch.
But it is a great spot.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not jumping ahead, I'm on page 12.
Mm-hmm. How are we on time? We pass another.
Your chart now. You're charging whatever you want.
I would say you're almost done because you're not going to get to the performance standard tonight. That'll kind of follow depending on what happens with everything else. And a lot of these are pretty straightforward. 4.31?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Following in line with our logic in the previous section for children, daycares, that concept, we've got P's across the board here. We didn't
right.
in the other selection. So there's something incongruent about
it. It's got all those schools under P.
All of them.
All the schools. Not necessarily all the kindergarten, elementary schools, at all.
I'll say the only thing that I want to call out that's different, if you're going to create a Montessori school, you're going to go through a permitting process, and if you're opening up a family daycare, you're not, and so your neighbors are going to be impacted that don't know, and so if you're opening a business in an area, there's going to be a little more oversight and awareness and permitting.
Okay, now what if I call my early childhood development training facility an other educational institution?
Right.
You would be then governed by a certain body or certified by a state or federal organization.
You get my point.
Yeah.
The definition, particularly when you use other, I mean, give me a break. Maybe the council didn't get to this page.
No, it's just one that's been there. I think that use has been there. They didn't discuss it really. Yeah. I think you could consider allowing it in D.C. Why is it not in D.C.?
Yeah. Well, and to the point I'm really making goes back to the previous section where
right.
we restricted daycare and children and adult family homes, and
mm-hmm.
I don't see any difference to the function of things. If someone wants to put what's described in 4.31 in any of those zones, why shouldn't we also have children and adult services? The same logic. Seems to apply.
Right.
Good point. What about other educational institutions missing a P in D.C.? Then you think about Encompass has a facility in downtown commercial.
The answer I'd put on 4.32 is strike the whole description, because other is like you're just asking for somebody to have a problem with the fact that, well, we're another, you've committed this, why aren't you going to let us
Or go just ahead? Educational institution?
Well, it could be college.
Right.
Campus. Well, it could be anything that somebody comes up with. A wilderness camp school.
Right.
Even as if 50 kids show
yeah.
up. And
well, there's the Rooster Farm School.
Right? It could be all kinds of training programs.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, other. So that it's almost like Katie bar the door if we're going to call it other
things like this. You could have professional training schools, like computer training, things like that. Those are usually always found in the business community, not in the neighborhoods.
Yeah, if we keep the other educational, and it is something totally random, not really
could be
formal
a family entertainment training.
Then take it out of residential, is that what you're saying?
Well, it's. I'd strike the whole 4.32 because it doesn't exist. That's my thought.
Yeah, it
because
exist.
It's too much.
It's going to be a business otherwise. It's not a public school or a Montessori
yeah.
type of school. It's going to be a business.
I was a wilderness survival school.
Like, then would it fall under office? I mean, then you got to find something else to have it fall under.
Well,
you know.
Then it's going to be an office or a business or something, and you're going to have to apply based on that description.
I think it's
the other description is like everything else, everything we've said no to, everything that we haven't said no to applies here.
If it's education associated, yeah.
Well, if we define it further as college, technical, or some other type of corporate training or something else, that would help us define the zones that it should go in, right?
Yeah, so technical and professional training.
You know.
Again, that could be business, but yeah, I'm trying to think if there's a problem with leaving it. Yeah, it might be kind of a catch-all, but
took the word other out of that description.
Yeah.
It's an educational institution. So I guess I'm wondering what other educational institution can you imagine?
College. Technical school.
Trade, technical, culinary, photography, I mean, who knows?
Music school.
I don't know that there's a problem with having it in there, I guess, yeah. To your point, though, to match it with the other, let's look at that again when we go back.
I definitely would put it in D.C., though. I would put it, you know, you think about a music school.
Yeah.
The businesses here.
Yeah. Theater school. To go with the theater.
Dance school.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it should be residential or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. It shouldn't be there.
Yeah. Would you like to?
Anywhere else, but
I don't know. I'm not strong enough about it to take it out.
Yeah, if it wasn't there, which is kind of the reason I asked the question, if that 4.32 didn't exist in our code, folks who wanted to build something or start something that wasn't described already in 4.3.1, how would they do that?
They'd have to fall within another use. I mean, the most similar use.
So my point is, because we've used this educational institution description,
right.
It's like a free pass for someone who otherwise is in a real gray area. If they can teach...
Why don't I see if I can find any other examples?
They can sell weed, whatever.
From other cities.
Kind of.
Or they can teach medicinal use of spirits. They can brew alcohol. Stretch
no, you'd still level. You'd still have to no, because that's licensed on a different level. So no, I don't agree. I don't agree. Commissioner Heller. Though, if you would like to consider removing 4.32 permitted from LDR and CLDR, I would be in line with that.
That's just, I think the schools, with the primary schools, we need to keep them by law, is that right?
No, but it's just, I'm just thinking other educational institutions.
I'm just going roundabout here a little bit, but just in neighborhoods, it can be good for kids, because they can just walk, just block, right? But it's also totally different than a home.
Well,
so that's where I'm
there's
going.
Also this, that King County will no longer allow schools to be built in unincorporated areas, so they have to be built within the city boundary, and city boundary land is limited.
Yeah.
That's a very pro-growth concept they have. Keep everybody inside the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
So, it kind of seems more like a business, I guess, than because whereas kindergarten, elementary, middle, high school, not quite so much a business.
Well, I just think of it, if I'm going to think of it as a college, a vocational or technical school, not necessarily music or dance, but still, they're going to be a high traffic kind of area, and that doesn't fit with LDR or
for
CSA.
Profit.
Oh,
yeah, for profit.
That's what I'm thinking.
Does secondary education cover that whole?
I would think so. I just, to me it doesn't, it's not harmonious with the two, so. I would remove P for 4.32 from LDR and CLDR.
Is it against?
Commissioner Lucky, you.
I was going to change the definition of 4.32.
To
call it, what did I just say?
Educational.
Secondary education. Is that the right term?
Well, that's more.
Yeah.
That's a little more limiting because then.
Right.
Well, if you wanted to have a music school, would that be a secondary school? if you just are teaching, you know, elementary and middle school kids, that's not a secondary.
I think.
Or a dance school.
I think a music school is more of a business than an educational school. We've got to get that figured out. Acting schools, music schools.
Okay, well, first, this is under public and quasi-public, so we're not really talking about strictly a business.
Yeah.
And so if it is other educational institution, it would be some kind of a public or semi-public university or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I still agree that it doesn't belong in LDR or CLDR, just for development traffic.
And how do you say that when you don't even know what it is? That's my other question. If we haven't defined what other is, how can you say it's good or not?
I'm saying that this falls under public or quasi-public.
Right.
So by that definition, it would be a certain type of entity.
Right.
Well, you're also talking private schools when you're talking about.
But then it wouldn't be a public or quasi-public.
No, yeah. Compare it easy to quasi.
So a satellite school is a secondary, is it not? Or how would you think about that? Be considered secondary?
Yeah, I would. I'll look around and see if there's any other naming that.
Yeah,
there's a
difference. We need to define other educational institution.
Yeah.
What is other? Yeah. It's like one clap in the woods. What's other?
It seems to be rather big, essentially.
Yeah. Well, I think Gary's clarification on public, if it is quasi-public, might help a little bit.
Yeah. Gary, what is homeschool? Does homeschool actually have a building, or is it a home? Or
when you are homeschooled, Mount Si is a open, or Snoqualmie School District is an open district, and so you can apply that you're a homeschooled person, and you can go through these online courses, and you integrate with their school system as far as testing goes, and getting your degree.
If you're going through a homeschool, you're doing it in a neighborhood in your home, or
mm-hmm.
So does that need to be mentioned here as other?
Mm-mm.
No, because this would be a more of a facility that you would need to permit.
Okay.
In this respect. Good question.
Mm-hmm.
Good. But you are having a non-residential use of your home by teaching.
Not if it's your own child.
That's less than a home occupation or something, yeah.
Yeah. But don't you also usually have other kids?
Not necessarily.
No.
Normally it's just your
All I know about this is that Marcia teaches kids and they all homeschool together. The Colkies, all the people mm. homeschool together. There's like four or five families that rotate.
Mm.
So.
Yeah.
I don't think it generates the level of traffic that a off-site college campus would, right? And that's what it gets down to, is how many trips you're talking about and the impact of the neighborhood.
Okay, it's not like a daycare where you have to be licensed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I just wanted to see, did you get your point out? Just by the public and quasi-public, you're clearer?
Yeah, a little more clear, and maybe more okay with it.
I was just going to muddy the waters with my next question. So if we weren't talking about educational institutions, we were talking about gas stations, and I said other gas stations, follow my...
Yeah, 100%.
What does that mean?
Well, just because we're specific where we say kindergarten, elementary, middle, and high school, and then we want to say other, it gives us the opportunity to say here's where we want them. Not that we treat them differently today.
If I have a business that's not permitted in most parts of the town, and I could come up with a way to have it be an educational institution, and I apply to the city and say, well, this is an other educational institution. What's your problem? And the city says, no, but it's got a P in it. I call my attorney. That's what I'm saying. It's like you get too many. If you're going to use the word other, it's a catch-all. Sets us up for failure, not success.
So, Jim, would you be happier if we struck 4.32 altogether and we added secondary or post-secondary to 4.31.
I still feel the same. I think the whole concept of other is a problem.
Well, I'm not saying other. I'm saying secondary or post-secondary, however it's properly defined, to mean college, vocational, technical school that's public or quasi-public is also permitted.
That
the same.
It probably should be identical to 4.31.
Well, I'm trying to get rid of the other vague thing.
Yeah, no,
so if you think that's better, let Jamie get in the right term and let's...
I would say any school other than the ones that are identified in 4.31 would have to go outside of the neighborhood. It's going to be an institution of some size.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a brick-and-mortar school. It's going to be parking lots involved. It's going to be outside the neighborhoods, at least in the NB.
So Whole Foods wants to go into... NB, or DC for that matter.
Yeah.
They want to put a store there.
Yeah.
And they have a culinary institute as part of their building.
There you go.
It's grocery store.
But, the
primary
majority
use.
Primary use, yeah.
So, okay.
Well, it's just that this is not defined. It's just like the co-housing you're saying.
Right.
It's just that's why you got rid of it, is because it wasn't defined. So if
right.
you defined other educational institutions,
so, Jamie, I'm going to pass that with you for our next meeting to define 4.32 other educational institutions that are public and quasi-public, and then we can make a better determination as to what to do. All right. Anything else on page 12?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes. 5.21, wastewater treatment plant in the neighborhood business, really? Really?
That's where it is. Well, that's so it's right now in POSPF. The reason it was put there is there's neighborhood business adjacent. So if there was a need for expansion. But yeah, and there's been talk about that parcel just going to downtown commercial anyways. I mean, at some point, if the park were to go away, it's adjacent to commercial.
Well, it's just inside baseball, but as a community member, I'm seeing that the city's going to tolerate a wastewater treatment plant in my neighborhood business center. I'm going to be really freaking out.
I think that must be a carryover from when it was NB. Prior to switching to the parks and open. So, if you guys
want
to take it out, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know about Christmas tree farms.
They're pretty evil.
You know? They grow all those trees.
Yeah.
Those rude people, every time I pull up, they tell me to go cut my own tree. I don't understand.
I'll tell you. Christmas Creek Tree Farm has the best Santa that I cannot pull myself away from bringing my kids there every year for the last 7 years. It's just, yeah.
Is that off the record commentary?
Yes.
Okay.
I know who the Santa is.
He is the real Santa.
Keep it to yourself.
He's super sweet Santa.
Yeah. He is the real. There is no.
Not icky Santa. Yeah,
he is the real. That's
good. I'm good with you right around horses.
Plus, it smells good.
Yeah. Santa smells good?
No.
We're back to your adult comment again. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, it's very misleading to have a PD in the neighborhood business for wastewater treatment.
Commercial farm produce and related. I'd like to add a P in LDR and CLDR. Why not?
Commercial farm.
Well, you could
That's
add.
A big thing, by the way.
Farm to table kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and by the way, Jamie, as a side note, while the commission's looking at that, I saw something where all these cities are growing herbs up and down their buildings.
Yep. Yeah, that's cool.
How can we do that in our design standards?
I know. Grow
advice.
Herbs.
Grow herbs.
Get advice from the KCP. Just give me a shot. Where are are you, on page 13?
Yes.
12. Page 12. The very bottom.
Under 6.0, resource, commercial farm produce and related. And I'm just wondering if there should be some peas added somewhere. Mr. Lucky, any thoughts?
So I guess the definition of commercial farm is anything from a little basket of strawberries that you sell.
That is
acres of crop
squash, yeah.
Fly over with pesticides. Those are both commercial farms, right?
Yes.
What's the definition of pea patch?
I don't know if we define it, but it's usually, public garden, yeah.
You're going to have,
We have farmland, pasture, and crop uses in LDR and CLDR and CR, and I'm just thinking, you know, they're more of a heavier impact than growing lettuce and carrots and radishes.
All I can do is offer you my best advice on this one. We have a zone in the county that's an agricultural zone. They have a protection, they have the right to farm protection. In other words, their odors and foul smells are tolerated by any homeowner around them. They're allowed to do that. Now, this whole section has the potential of becoming a problem for the community that exists because they bought away from farms to get away from that, and now we're talking about bringing back in odors and fertilizers, whatever people might bring on their property to grow their crops. The residential neighbors have a right to gripe about that. So we're promoting something here that might become a problem or a nuisance to neighboring residents.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
So you think that through a little carefully.
Okay.
What is the LC?
Limited commercial overlay. Do we have any left?
I don't see any.
I think that's a carryover from. So the zoning map has changed since we've changed this table.
Because this was more like, so what would apply to container junction?
Right.
Container landing master plan overlay district was permitting multifamily on the back end of the lot where it borders residential as a buffer in between commercial and.
Right, and then there's a Tanner Junction, which I was gonna. I had a note to myself to look at that as we go through this, but the. Yeah, this limited commercial went away. It's still in 18. It's still described in the code, but. let's see. Let me think about that. 025. We might be able to since we have. We'll have to look. I didn't open that specific section. But you were asking about the. So the Tanner Junction says basically if you're going to build multifamily or residential multifamily, it'd be per. The HDR, the high density residential standards, and then for Tanner Junction, if it's otherwise, it would be EP1 because that's the underlying zone. Word or Excel, Word. I just, copied it from the code.
If it was in Excel, then this could be sorted, and I could see everything that's permitted, like EP2 or NB, and all the P's would line right up. It would be an easier way to organize the data, so that I don't have to flip through. If it's not in Excel,
You can copy a table from Word to Excel, and then you could insert an Excel table into Word. I don't think it formats exactly nicely, though.
Okay.
It's something that I've mentioned before, and just the way we get the information is we have to look at it on paper. We don't often get Word, Excel, or any files like that. We just don't get in that format. And I don't know if it's like protection reasons or
No. You can also take this offline, off the city's or municipal code website, and you click and get it in rich text format. That's how I get it, and then you could manipulate it from there.
Have these
changes, yeah.
Yeah, and that would actually be important.
So, if we're able to switch it over somehow to Excel, you're saying you would be able to look.
You could go, these were columns. By you could
column.
Click on this column.
Right.
You could go click A to Z, and it would stack all. It would move the rows.
Or you could filter it by P's, and you'd filter out all the blanks, and then it would show you every row that has a P in it. Or you could filter out P's and just show me all the rows that are blank.
Okay.
Just a way to look at the data.
Yeah.
So, the first question is it in Excel? So
the only thing that I caution you, for me it's helpful to look at the zone and all the comparable uses and how we're treating each one and what's in line or out of line.
Mm-hmm.
Jim's point, we have P's here, but we don't have them here. It really helps to look at the neighboring things.
Yep. It is just another way to look at it. I know, but just to have it, there's no other way to see all of the uses within a zone.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at this paper.
Yeah, if I'm able to, or worst case, I could email as is the Excel just to kind of play with and see. And then that's the question, can you make the changes, or would you have to go one by one to make those? So I'll take a look, and then happy to email different versions out if that's helpful in general,
I would say, if you are building this in Excel, then just include it as an Excel file. And if not,
right,
it's in Word, maybe you could do that.
Right.
We could move the data or not.
Yep.
But then we would have more control.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Jamie.
Yeah,
if you can send out the Word version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything left on page 12 or 13?
Prohibited use number 2 is permanent accountables. Are all the uses there permanent uses, or can any of them be temporary? Permanent accountable services are the parts.
Right.
Rides.
Under the footnotes or list of prohibited. So, yes, if it was temporary, then we have temporary.
So things like cat shows and dog shows would
fall
into that.
No. No. Nope.
Or 4-H activities.
Right. No? Mm-mm.
Sometimes it's noise.
Noise ordinance.
Right.
Unless they're all.
The next page was for the docket.
No, that's performance standards. Depending on if there's a desire to have any residential uses in the neighborhood business. So I guess think about that, and we can talk about it again, and what that looks like.
Standalone residential uses.
Well, this is performance standards, so stipulating, the first floor has to be upper floor only, for example, and then behind that you could have just residential uses, or we don't want to see any residential in NB. So
well, I think residential uses of the commercial. That makes your neighborhood too, I think.
Right. I think there's been concern with some of those larger blue parcels right before you get to Mount Si Road, that they're large, and how many units would you get if you didn't restrict the ones behind? Because it's been pretty clear, North Bend Way, in that neighborhood business zone, we want to see some commercial, but not all commercial. So that's the balance. No, and you don't necessarily want all residential, but I think people living is important. People, that has a good impact. So I think it was more concern of how many more units could you get on those big lots if you allowed it, and that was the concern.
Jamie, so for me, I want to look at Redmond's code of how they blended commercial and residential. Now, granted, they've gone 4 and 5 stories, and that's not going to be an option.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some of their design standards might be applicable
mm-hmm.
in this case, because they have some deeper lots that they've kind of integrated into, you know, retail centers and vibrant activities. So I think that would be a good model to think about if we're concerned about how that would develop. That goes to thinking more for good of the order. Gateway planning, that would be a gateway to consider because it's Mount Si Road and one of the most popular hikes in the region. And I think we ought to be really careful how we consider that development and how it should look and really be as specific as possible for a change, you know, in some respects. The other thing I'm thinking about is since our CED director left, she was in charge of our cottage zone update.
Right. Yeah, Mike is going to take that, and it's just a matter of getting it on the schedule. We had a draft schedule that we gave you last time, and it's morphed a little bit maybe, so we can get a revised once we have it. We're trying to focus on getting through the stuff we've started, that's one of them, and really with a goal of, by the end of the year, to get through all the stuff we've started and catch up.
Does that come up on the moratorium? Was it just renewed?
Right. I think it might have to be renewed one more time because I think it comes up in August, actually. August or September. So it'll need one more, but it is close. That's what Jenna said as she left. It's close. There's just this to do and bring it through.
So the longer it stays away from us.
I know. Yeah.
It's a new document.
He'll be here in about a month. Yep. Yeah. Yep. The city hired someone. So, yeah.
What is his title?
Director. Yep. Yep. Yeah. So.
So from us, or from me at least, if there's any decision points about what to process faster rather than other,
right,
I'd offer that our process of dealing with permitting and approvals and changes is probably way behind the market. And the thing that rubs me the wrong way every day is the fact that we've gone from one moratorium to the next, each of them occurring right about the peak of the market activity where somebody would start building something.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently shooting ourselves in the foot with these moratoriums. So maybe there's anything that's quote low hanging fruit that we can get on the plane with.
And get them closed, yeah.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else for good of the order? Just a reminder that our August 10th meeting is canceled in honor of our summer. So our next meeting will be the August 27th meeting?
No, we're on July 13th right now. This is our first meeting this month.
Sorry.
We meet again on the 27th.
Yeah.
That's what I have.
Yep.
Yes. Sorry. Thank you all.
Sorry.
I'm glad you're on top of that.
Yeah, you back in
the room. So one more meeting in July.
Next meeting. You're on the way through both of the month.
Yes. Yeah. One more meeting in July and then the end of August. take my time to go to the wonderful farmer's market. With that, will there be a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Lucky, second by Commissioner Heller. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Commission is adjourned. It is 9:56.